Is this on?
Yes, my lord.
Good. Hello, this is God speaking. Can we dial that down?
Yes, my lord.
Thanks. Welcome, new arrival, to the Eternity Ward. Please take a number and make your way down to the left or the right to the waiting room. All you need is the refreshments I made just for you. I would tell you to steer clear of the apples, they're forbidden, and the two snakes. I mean, fools, sorry, that are chewing the fat in the corner, but you probably wouldn't listen anyway. So good luck, I bless you, and on your way.
Welcome to the Eternity Ward, where we flick through old copies of Reader's Digest and chat with our buddies who respond to our questions and communicate effectively while we wait for an appointment with God. I'm Nick McKinnon.
I'm Chris Adams.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Nick. How you going?
I'm doing well. I can hear you. You can hear me.
Yep. Yeah, I know where you're going with this. Yeah. I know what we're talking about tonight. So
you and I in the loop.
Yes, I have context. So yes, that was funny. Yeah, I found that funny.
Thank you. Everyone else will appreciate when they listen to it the second time through, because everyone listens to these twice. So, Chris, tonight we've kicked... Hello, Pilot. I was going to say we've kicked the guests out, but apparently Pilot wanted in.
She's not getting in, so yeah, anyway.
Well, you leave the back door open. So the last couple of episodes, we've let other people into our little humble abode here on the internet. Tonight, no more. Get out. Slam the door. It's just us, Chris.
Yeah, they'll be back next week.
Light the candles, burn the incense,
run the bath,
dim the lights. We're going to romance tonight. Sound good? No. So today we are talking about a relationship though, Chris.
Yes, we are.
Not ours.
No.
Not yours and mine.
No.
Though ours is important.
It's very special.
Not as special as this one.
Perhaps.
So we're going to be talking about a relationship with something you can't see.
Mm.
Very few people here. It's a confusing one.
Is it the wind?
People often use that metaphor, don't they? They do like using that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I wanted to talk about this idea of a relationship with God. It's something that I grew up just assuming was the norm for Christians to not only desire, but also to have a relationship with God. Like I think I've mentioned it on a previous podcast that at times I even felt like I was missing out on something that other people had.
Yeah.
With this idea of having a relationship with God.
I resonated with you when you talked about that because I too grew up in that sort of circumstance and with that sort of understanding. And I would look at other people, friends of mine, who would claim that they've got this great relationship with God, and there'd be feelings of jealousy at times, you know, why don't I? There'd be feelings of, you're just bullshitting, I don't believe you. It's because... Yeah, that was the thing that I understood, that was what you desired and what you were aiming for. And I've never felt like I've really had it. And I know that you've said before that, you know, you like prayed at the end of your bed for 20 years aiming for that and didn't hear anything back. So a relationship with God is something that I am interested in talking about. It's something that I am searching for and seeking at times. Because there's a part of me which feels like I've sort of stopped searching and seeking for that part of it all because I've sort of given up. So, yeah, I want to talk about it.
So what do you think people mean when they say that they have a relationship with God? Actually, start with what did you think they meant back however long ago and what do you think they mean now?
Right, okay. Well, back then I would have thought that that meant that there was some sort of, you know, interplay going on. They were talking to God and in some way God was speaking to them. And as I grew older, I came to think they're not hearing words, but maybe God is still speaking to them on some level. And they're interpreting that, understanding that, and being able to grasp that. And why can't I? So that's sort of what I understood. But, you know, as I've grown older, I do feel more, I think, the way I've felt you describe it, that no one hears. But I can't speak for somebody else. Are other people having this relationship? I'm still wondering because there are other people who can seem to be very sort of heart-oriented people and I'm going, well, maybe they're in touch with God through this other sort of part of themselves, which I don't communicate that well with or something. You know, I'm not in touch with that part of me as the same that they are. So I do wonder if the lack of a relationship with God is because it's not possible, or because I'm just not trying hard enough, or I'm not in the right place. It's confusing. Nick, I've sort of pretty much given up.
Quitter. God doesn't quit on you, Chris.
No. Well, maybe. But that's the way I always saw it, was that God's trying to have this relationship with me, and obviously I'm failing at this. God's not failing at this. I'm failing at it. And that can be a harmful message to be sending to people. I'm sending myself this negative message over and over again that I'm failing at this.
If you just had faith as small as a mustard seed, Chris, you can't even muster faith as small as a mustard seed. How pathetic are you?
Pretty pathetic. Apparently, I can't even do that.
It's okay, though. You need salvation, and Jesus provides salvation. Religion, where we create the problem and give you the solution.
Yeah. I'm not going to completely just say, you know, a relationship with God is not possible. Hearing from God is not possible. I'm not going to say that, because I feel like there are two instances in my life where I felt like I heard from God, not audibly, but I felt like I connected to something and understood part of God's will, I guess, twice in, you know, in my whole life. And I've tried. I remember when I was doing some theological training, they were doing exercises to try and, you know, help us establish that relationship. So yeah, devotional times, journaling, but the big one was asking you to listen to your spirit. Man, it used to shit me when I was pissed off or angry, depressed, confused, and someone would say, "Whoa, what does your spirit say?" And I'm like, "Fuck off." But the idea was being that you've got God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the latter connects to your spirit, like it's the telephone exchange or something. You know, so they'd say, "What does your spirit say?" And you're meant to be listening to the quiet voice.
Because God's not powerful enough to produce like one that's easily audible.
Well, just that in our heads, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise in our society. There's a lot of distractions. And as much as it sometimes pissed me off, I still think there's something to it, something, you know, that's really worthy, in that the loud voice is often the accusing voice, the "you're a piece of shit, you're a failure." Whereas the real you, or the truth maybe, would be more inclined to be the gentle voice, the "you are loved, you are worthy" sort of voice. But it's sort of like a quiet reflection. And, you know, I've been trying to embark on like meditation recently and using an app, and it keeps reminding me, "It's time to meditate now." And I'm going, "No, not right now." So there's still too much noise. I'm still failing. I'm failing. No matter what I try.
So the people that say they have a relationship with God, because like I think I just heard you saying that you don't feel like you have much of one, or that you're not even trying to have one.
I've never really had much of one, and I've sort of given up trying. Yeah. Yeah.
So for the people that would say they have a relationship with God, in what ways do you think God communicates with them? Because like what you were talking about before when you were younger, I think I grew up thinking that, you know, a relationship means that you actually hear from the other person and you can ask questions and then they respond. Whereas certainly in my experience, that's not how it worked. I would ask questions and I would be left with that. I mean, that pissed the hell off out of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like these people who haven't become pissed off and jaded like me, what are they picking up? What are they hearing?
I don't know. They don't tell me.
Well, there's a question for our dear listeners then. If you, and I don't mean that, you know, condescendingly or anything like that. Yeah. The way I see any of these conversations is that I have experienced things through the path that I've walked. And I haven't spent a day walking in anyone else's shoes, so I wouldn't know the first thing about what it's like to be anyone else. Like, if you feel like you have a relationship with God, I don't write that off at all. I want to hear from you. I want to hear you give your account so that I can go, "Holy crap, that's awesome." If you feel like you've experienced God walking with you, a relationship with God, we'd love to hear that. Yeah, because like you, I think my experience of it is, yeah, the people... To me, it just seems like they're just fooling themselves. And that's fine. I'm sure I fool myself in a lot of ways too. But
I think maybe the relationship with God, seeking that relationship with God, isn't so much about seeking a conversation as it is in seeking to be just in harmony with what God wants for your life. And so maybe you can somehow be in sync with that be able to read that.
But to do that, you have to know what to be in sync with.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to hear from God, no, don't treat people like that, treat them like this, or don't take that job, take this job, whatever it is. Mm. So you do have to have some sort of communication with this being to be able to follow its path.
I might have given up on, I guess, what you call an intimate type relationship with God, but it doesn't mean I've given up on the concept of God and of following God. I just sort of feel like going down that path of trying to have this relationship hasn't really worked. But I still feel like there's something there worth attempting, or an idea even worth attempting to stay connected to, even if it's not a relationship. But I do crave that relationship because, you know, listening to your dad talk about God as being a person, there's this personhood to God. And I remember listening to Father Bob saying a lot of Christians have God as this transcendent being looking down, whereas, you know, he sees God as more sort of on our plane. So God's more human in that sort of sense. And I do like that we had God as Jesus in human form, God being totally relatable at that point. But still, why can I, after all that, still not have this relationship? It is frustrating.
He died 2,000 years ago.
But it's a bit
difficult to relate to him now.
Yeah, and I don't really buy this, but there's the idea that how do you talk to something that far below you? You know, your voice may be too powerful, or they wouldn't grasp it. In that, like, I cannot talk to an ant. I don't have words, but I do have a relationship with my dog. However, there's a connection there. But maybe God and human beings can't communicate on some sort of level ground. But I think it's more likely that it's part of being given freedom and autonomy, that having that close a relationship deprives us of some of that. And some is enough to say deprives us of it. But it's also weird because we are God's children, and you're definitely going to have a relationship and communication with your child.
You would hope so.
You're not just going to throw them out the door and say, off you go.
You know, child services coming along and.
I don't know. Do you think it's possible to have a relationship with God that doesn't involve, you know, some clear communication, some clear audible communication like we're having right now?
No.
Yep.
Kind of.
All right.
So it depends what you mean. So you talked about ants. Mm. I don't think you and I can have a relationship with ants. No matter how hard we tried, I don't think we could.
No.
Your dog, I think we can have a relationship with your dog.
Yep.
But it's not the same as a relationship with a human.
No.
It's never going to sustain you. That couldn't be the only relationship you had.
No.
Like
some people do that, and it's a bit sad.
You would be missing out.
Yeah.
So I've never heard from God.
Right.
Or at least not in a way that I can certainly say that was definitely God and it wasn't just me making stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, that's not true, this conversation we're having right now. Like, I know that you exist and I know that you are talking and I'm hearing you, unless, you know, this is all just a simulation and whatever, but blah, 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 ignoring that. Like, I know that you exist and I can ask you questions and you respond.
Mm.
There is a feedback loop there. There's no feedback loop with my experiences with God. You know, all I'm talking about is my experiences. Mm. I can't speak to other people's experiences. But yeah, for me, like, I talk, I ask God questions and he doesn't answer. And, like, that still happens to this day. Like, I haven't stopped talking to God. I definitely talk less because, you know, that happens when you talk to someone for 20 years and they don't respond. I think you'd be pretty stupid to keep going forever. But I think you just get to this point where it becomes too easy to just convince yourself that any feeling or emotion that comes through your body is God. Like, that's very easy to convince yourself of. Like, I don't know how much meditation you've done. I haven't done much, but the meditation I've done, you feel things and you experience things and you go, wow, that was cool. And so if you were doing that through a religious prism, it would be very easy to just go, well, that's God. Mm. And it might be or it might not be. I do find it fascinating, the idea that, like, if God doesn't communicate, I mean, the first thing is we shouldn't call it a relationship because he's not talking. If we never talk to each other, it wouldn't be a relationship. So I don't think you can call it a relationship. I think you're misusing the English language to say that. You might want to say that I experience God or something like that.
Okay.
I feel the presence of God or something like that. But you don't have a conversation with God. Like, relationship has to have conversation, I think.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I don't like people using the term relationship with God. Like, when I was a teenager, I think it gives an impression that just isn't true. It makes people think that you're having some sort of experience that you're not really having. And so I wonder what you make of that. Like, you don't experience that sort of conversation yourself, but you're aware that there are other Christians who would say that they have a relationship with God, whether or not they say they have conversations with God or not, I don't know. But like, what do you make of other Christians that say they have a relationship with God? Are they having the same experiences that you have, but are more willing to say it's a relationship, or are they experiencing something completely different?
Well, like what you said before, that, you know, you can only talk from the prism of your own sort of understanding. So I don't know. There are people who I would, you know, see say things like that, and I'm not proud to say it, but I would be pretty judgmental and, you know, be going, oh, I don't believe you. Because I've also seen instances of people claiming that, you know, God spoke to them, and they've used that to, in a sense, have some sort of control over another person, some sort of control over a direction of that person's life or something, you know. So I find it hard to trust people who say that they're talking to God, they're hearing from God. But I also, if I have a, you know, really good relationship with someone and I do trust someone, and then they're saying that, I'm like going, okay, well, maybe there's something more that I'm still not getting. So I find it bewildering.
So if you admit the possibility that that second one could be true, that other Christians could be experiencing something that you're not, what does that say about God for you, that he would communicate with some people but not with you?
Yeah, I've wondered about that, you know, that maybe different people experience God in different ways, and maybe that's okay, and maybe that's just part of the way it all works, and some people hear from God, some people don't, because maybe in one sense they don't need to. That's not part of what their journey, their plan, their destiny. Not that I believe, you know, in all of that sort of stuff, but that's, in one sense, that's not required for them. Yeah, so maybe others do. And I don't understand usually those people. I don't often feel an affinity with people who speak like that. Like, I don't resonate often with them. Sometimes it's like, you know, we're on different planes. So maybe we are on different planes. Maybe they're in this sort of slightly separate world where God does talk to them. But yeah, in my world, I don't hear it. I've heard it a couple of times, but a couple of times is not a very large set of data. And I'm not sure of either of those instances. And they were very, very simple, very quick little things, you know. But there was this sense that things came together. It was a sense of, that's it. That's what I got to do. Right. Okay. But are they on a different plane, those other people? Do you have that sense of some people that are just, you know, when we're not in the same zone, it's hard to communicate with them?
There's weirdos, if that's what you're saying. I've sort of come to believe that we're all weirdos.
Yeah, we are.
That I'm a weirdo, that you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
We're all weird, just we're all weird in different ways. And some of the weirdness is socially acceptable and some of it isn't.
Yeah. You know, I'm often like, oh, all of these people who believe all of this crazy, crazy shit, oh, they're freaking weirdos. And then I'm going, oh, yeah, I believe that a guy that was God came to earth, died for our sins on a cross, and then came back to life. Who's the weirdo? And that he can talk to me, maybe.
Well, he can. He just chooses not to, Chris.
Yeah.
He doesn't care enough about you.
I don't necessarily ascribe that God doesn't care as to that's the reason why.
No, I was joking. Of course not.
No, you don't have to say, of course not. That's a theory that a lot of people have, that, well, God might exist, but sort of turn his back on the world, has better things to do, doesn't care about humanity. That's as valid a view as anything else.
Oh, look, that view makes far more sense to me than your view.
Yeah.
But all I was meaning by of course not was that, of course, that's not what you believe. Like, no, I understand that's not what you believe. You wouldn't follow a God if you didn't think they cared about you.
No.
That would be weird.
No, why would you?
Yeah.
I don't know, Nick, because I wonder about, okay, let's say God had the power to communicate with everyone and did communicate with everyone, and everyone could be chatterboxes with God. I just find that world hard to imagine.
You just did imagine it. What do you mean?
No, but I'm like going, what sort of a world is that? How does that work? It's almost like we would all be puppets on a string, because we're all got this connection to God. And if you're that connected to God, you're never going to stray. Why would you rebel? It sounds like a nice world, but you don't have autonomy either. You're just a puppet.
Of course you have autonomy. Like, if God is telling you this is the best way to live, you can still go, well, fuck you, God. I want to live my own way. Like,
cut the string.
Like, Christians talk about non-Christians as being rebellious and rebelling against God. Well, actually give them something to rebel against God. Actually talk to people so that they can actually choose to rebel, or they, you know, because at the moment, I'm not rebelling against God. I'm just going, God, if you're there, I would love you to communicate. It would make things a lot easier. If you don't want to do that, cool, okay, but don't expect me to just follow you without any evidence whatsoever. But, like, it wouldn't have to be like, you know, in that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want, where he, like, starts to hear the thoughts of women. It doesn't have to be like that, where you're hearing, you know, God's just constantly chattering to you and you're like, oh, fuck off, God, just give me a minute to be by myself. It doesn't have to be like that. It could just be, you know, we do our meditation in the morning, our half an hour in the morning, and align ourselves to the God way of being, and then the rest of the day, it's on us. It's our job to maintain that focus throughout the day. That's still on us. If we can't do that, well, fair enough.
Okay.
Send us to hell for all of eternity.
Well, people do have their morning devotions and stuff. So.
They do. And they work in the same way that, you know, meditation works.
So, I mean, I've tried morning devotions. I'm hopeless at it. I've tried meditation. I'm hopeless at it. I've tried journaling as a way to sort of like leading into relationship with God. And I just find it hard to ever maintain any of these things and keep them going. So then I go, oh, I'm failing because I never get there. But there's also a part of me going, oh, I've tried.
Can I give you a tip?
What's your tip?
Well, first thing there is, Chris, you turned up every single time. God didn't turn up any of those times. Don't beat yourself up.
Well, I don't that much anymore, right? Yeah.
Beat up the guy that didn't turn up. Yeah. But here's my tip. Do them at the night time when you're going to sleep. Perfect. You'll be lying in bed going, God, this is what I did today. It would be really helpful if you could help me in this way or that way, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll fall asleep because you have to be there lying in bed every night. You're not going to get up half an hour early every day.
I'm not.
Doesn't work. I tried that as well, Chris. My youth pastor, when I was a youngin', he was one of those dudes that got up like at 5:30, literally that sort of. He built himself a cubby house in his backyard, partly for the kids, but mostly so that he could go out every morning and, you know, have his quiet time out there at 5:30 in the morning for an hour before anyone else was up. And like, I'm not having a go at him at all. Like, he's a lovely dude. I like him a lot. And he's an awesomely positive, caring person. But yeah, like that, if you can do that, awesome. Good for you. If you can maintain that, you're amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a night person.
Yeah, I'm a night person too. But I am in awe at the people who can do that, whether or not they're talking to God. They've got some level of dedication and commitment to what they're doing. And I find it hard to maintain that. Yeah.
It's the same as people that get up and go jogging in the morning. Yeah. Like I do it for like 3 days and I'm like, I am brilliant. The alarm goes off on the fourth day. I'm like, maybe I'll just have this one day off. And then it happens that I never get back into it.
So you were just talking before about saying, oh, God, I did this today and I'd really like you to do, you know, help me with this and this and this. I was just sort of thinking, well, what sort of things would you talk about to God if you had a relationship with God? Because I never really understood asking for stuff because I was like, well, God knows what I want. I always tried to take the Lord's Prayer as sort of a guide to how to pray. So it was more about being thankful. But again, that didn't really lead into relationship either, you know. But I'm like, what would you talk about? What would you talk about?
For me, it'd be like, let's wrestle. Let's work out all the answers to the curly questions. You know, why is there suffering in the world? You know, on the morning of September the 12th, 2001, I'd wake up and go, God, where the hell were you? Why were you not in New York? Questions like that. Why is it that this woman in Tehran, I can't remember her name, but she stood up to protest against that in Iran, women have to wear head coverings. And she stood up in the middle of a crowd, took her head covering off, and she hasn't been seen since. Why is God allowing that to happen? Those are the sort of questions I'd be asking. Yeah, what the hell? Answer me. And then we'd have a chat. And he'd, you know, like we've talked about before in Job. Where
he'd tell you, explain it all in such a way that you were, okay, all right.
Yeah. You were right, God. Of course you were. Of course I'm an idiot. But I want to have that. I want to have that moment of experiencing the real answer and going, God, you're an idiot, Nick.
But if you can experience the real answer and you've got that connection to God, then you've essentially got the connection to every answer that there is.
But he doesn't have to give it to you.
Okay. Because then I'm just going, well, what's left? There's all the answers are laid out for you. You won't have any more questions. That's
okay.
No, it's not.
Okay with that.
No.
Why not?
Well, they talk about that after you die and that's when you find out all of that sort of thing. Be patient, Nick. I don't know. I just sometimes think that you say you want these answers, you want this relationship, and I'm sort of thinking, oh, maybe if you got those things, you go, oh, actually, I sort of wish I didn't have them because things were more interesting without them or something. I don't know.
But this gets back to that point of you're not going to enjoy heaven then, Chris. You're going to hate it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Give me an example of any piece of information that you've learned that you're like, geez, I wish I hadn't learned that. Like, I can't think of any.
No, I don't want, yeah.
There's stuff that's awkward.
I do not aim to live that way. There are times I'm going, oh, well, ignorance would be a bit of bliss, but then I'm going, no, there's not a single part of me that doesn't want to know more and understand more.
Yeah, it's like the story of the Garden of Eden, that you can eat of any tree in the garden, Adam and Eve, but you can't eat of the tree of knowledge. Like, what the hell? What's wrong with knowledge? Surely that's a good thing.
It's knowledge of good and evil.
Like, God's trying to hide stuff from us. What a bastard.
You would always eat from the tree. So that story is just this weird story to me, because who would not eat from the tree?
But not just that, but also that God would, like, he's wanting to hide the truth from us.
Yeah.
What a wacko God.
Yeah, I don't think it's a literal story.
Yeah, but presumably it has a point to it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the point? Is the point really just that God created the earth? Is that the only point? That's a pretty elaborate story if that's your only point.
What is the point? I'm trying to remember because I've explored this. I explored a lot of Genesis years ago when I was always really interested in the Tower of Babel story as well. So Tower of Babel and the fall.
Yeah,
and
it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. You know, people are trying to get to God. God's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Get back down there. You can't join me. I'm too good for you guys.
And here's Nick going to say, you're wanting to know all of the answers and wanting to have, you know, God's like, nah,
denied. Sorry.
Computer says no.
This sort of goes back to like something you touched on earlier, intentionally or not. Like, even if we tried to communicate with ants, they just wouldn't get it.
Mm.
And we couldn't interpret anything from them. Even if they were like our size, we just wouldn't understand. Human beings are capable of so much more intellect than an ant could get its head around. Why the hell would any human want to have a relationship with an ant? Like, it would just be so pointless.
Mm.
And so the same thing to me, like, is with God. Like, what sort of a messed up God would actually want a relationship with us? He must be like a retard or something. He must be socially awkward and he can't get along with any of the other gods, so he has to try and hang out with us losers. It makes no sense to me that if God is so much more powerful and better than us, why would he even want a relationship with us? There must be something wrong with him.
Well, just, you know, the sense that we're made in the image of God. I mean, people talk about the incommunicable and the communicable attributes of God, they call it, which is, so the incommunicable attributes are, you know, the fact that God is meant to be transcendent and omnipotent and, you know, just the things that humans are not.
All those things that we've agreed that God can't possibly be.
Yeah. Those things. That's the incommunicable. The communicable, which is meant to be the ones, you know, that's where I guess if it's communicable, there should be some relationship within that, that we can also possess the knowledge that we took from the tree. We can possess love. We can possess mercy and compassion and justice. And so I don't think that we're that alienated from God that God wouldn't want to be bothered with us.
So it's more human dog than it is human ant.
I guess so. If you're talking, if something exists that created the entire universe and it's even further beyond human ant, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, us and dogs aren't that far.
No, we're not.
Not that distantly related.
Yeah. They sort of talk about these attributes that, so our understanding of God is always going to be woefully insufficient because of that. But it doesn't mean we can't know things about him.
But that's God's fault.
I didn't say it was your fault.
All right, good. As long as we both agree. Like, if God can't communicate.
Well, is it anyone's fault? Does anyone have to be blamed for the fact that there is an incommunicable distance?
Yeah.
Because?
Of course.
You have to point the finger at someone.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not necessarily a blame thing, but there's a reason for the breakdown. Let's work out what the reason for the breakdown was.
Okay.
Like, if I'm trying to explain something to you, it's not your fault if you don't get it. It's my fault if I can't explain it well enough. Like, when I've worked at schools, when I'm working with a kid, if they're not understanding something, it's because I haven't explained it well enough. Mm. It's not their fault. Mm. It's because I'm too stupid to articulate it in a way that clicks in their brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, if God knows something and we don't know it, if he wants to communicate it to us, then it's his fault if he can't communicate it to us.
Yeah, okay. But does God potentially communicate to us anyway through people in the sense that I'm communicating to you now? I guess Christians would say that, and it's a pretty aggrandizing statement to make, that you're talking for Jesus, you know, sort of thing. So you're going out there and, you know, being the salt of the earth. So God is communicating through others to us, essentially. So I don't know. See, I sort of see God as interwoven through the whole universe, you know, so and interwoven through people. So I think in the way that human beings communicate with each other, within that there is a communication that is, I don't know if I want to say attributable to God, because it almost takes away from the human having said something profound or good, but maybe there is something about humans where we can be connected to God, to justice, to mercy, to compassion, to all of those, to love, you know, that we are communicating what God wants us to communicate. Not that God's using us, but that communication gets out there. A lot of Christians would say that it comes to them in the form of a book.
You wouldn't.
I think the book's woven in as well. I think that's part of it, but I find more value in the human sitting across from me and the windows to the soul, looking in their eyes, hearing them speak. I find more value in that.
I found it weird in our chat with Pastor Reverend Jeff McKinnon.
Your dad?
Yeah, him. That he talks about progressive revelation, the idea that God didn't reveal himself fully at the start and he's just revealing himself over time within the cultures of the people that he's revealing himself to. It's weird to me then that the Bible would be closed, because if that's the case, if God is constantly revealing himself, then presumably we're getting a more fuller and more fuller picture as time goes on. And so therefore you'd want the opposite. Like, you would want the older versions of God to be thrown to the wayside and you'd want the newer versions to be the Bible. I'd want the Bible to be rewritten every single day because it's going to be a better version of it every single day.
Yeah, and maybe we would move further in progressive revelation if we discarded it altogether, because maybe it's holding that progressive revelation back by being stuck within a particular time, if we're talking about progressive revelation. I really liked the idea that he was talking about with progressive revelation. But again, I think there's some part of it which is, and which I like, which is driven by humanity. That progressive revelation is driven by the progressiveness of humanity as a whole. There are things, obviously, we need to learn from the past and be stupid not to, but we're getting more knowledge, more knowledgeable day to day. We progress in how we treat each other. Our human nature, our societies, they've evolved. There is progress. And if that progress is in part due to people being connected to the bigger picture, you know, to God, to God's will, then perhaps the way I sort of see it, progressive revelation, you know, is that we have brains and we have values and we're the ones that are driving it.
Yeah, but then that's not God speaking to you.
This makes me sound a bit like a humanist, doesn't it, all of this?
If you say so.
Well, it is, because I seek God and I've never really felt like I've had a relationship with God. I have seeked out people who also share this interest, and I've seeked out authors and pastors and great people, and they speak to me, you know, so because God doesn't, but they speak to me. But that doesn't mean that I don't see God in them. I don't know. Is this making any sense to you at all, or do I just sound like some sort of weirdo?
Of course you're a weirdo. We're all weirdos. We already established that.
You did.
But you don't sound like a humanist, because a humanist doesn't believe there's a God.
Right.
Whereas you do, even if you don't attribute anything to
him. Yeah, I'm just sort of attributing a lot to humanity, but I think that that's the humans that are connected to something greater than themselves. That's why I liked what you said before about not relationship, but the experience God. And that's something I have to think about more, is because I do feel like I can still be connected to God within an experience.
Mm.
But if you're going to call it a relationship, it comes with a lot of baggage for me. But that's what I want to do. That's what I've been doing for a long time now, because I've given up this relationship idea, is still move forward and try to live as if God exists and as if I'm trying to do what I think God wants me to do some of the time, because I feel like it matters. And I've been pretty much okay with that.
You'd prefer if he audibly talked, though, I presume. You'd like to be able to ask questions. Do you not have any questions?
Oh, I've got questions, but I'm going, if he audibly talked, what would I think of that? be freaked out for starters.
Yeah, well, that's what happened every time in the Bible, Chris, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the other thing. What do you think of all of those stories of God comes and there's a talking bush, you know?
I've got a bush in my front yard, Chris, yeah. And it's never spoke to me.
Right.
Rude. Maybe I should set it on fire first.
I think so.
So in my mind, there's actually a pretty big danger of people believing they do hear from God.
Mm.
If you actually believe that you hear from God, you can go out and do some awful things. Like, I mean, so like the people that are most sure they hear from God are the ones that are doing the freaky stuff in our world. You know, the Westboro Baptist Church crew.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas people that are just like, meh, I don't know, might be God, might not be God, I'm just doing my best.
Mm.
Those people are cool. Mm. They're just all about love. We don't have to worry about people that are all about love. But if you actually think you hear from God and you wake up one morning, you didn't get enough sleep and you're pissed off because your landlord's trying to kick you out, you can do some pretty evil stuff if you think God is actually the one telling you to do this stuff.
Mm.
It's another pernicious belief, Chris.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if God spoke to you, Nick,
yeah,
you heard audibly in your head, I want you to go and kill these bunch of people.
Yeah.
You'd just say, nah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But then if you're a person who has grown up in a church where everyone says it's really important you have a relationship with God, and so you've convinced yourself that you hear from God,
yeah,
because everyone else around you says that they have a relationship with God and they hear from God and they talk to God and God speaks to them. Like, that is the actual language that I grew up with. And I don't think that's an outlier example. I think that's very normal upbringing in Christianity in Australia. It's very easy to me to see how people hearing that everyone else is saying that they talk to God and that God speaks to them, that they would go, well, maybe God must be speaking to me too. And so then, as I say, I don't think anyone actually does hear from God, but I can see how someone could convince themselves that they do hear from God.
Well, we all have our own, I was going to say, we have our own voices in our head. People have a conscience. You know, you have thoughts that go around your head. You can get stuck in loops of thought. You could easily attribute that to not just being something. I mean, I work with guys with mental health issues who do hear voices in their head, and I hear them having conversations with those voices in their heads and yelling matches at times, you know, and they believe some crazy, crazy stuff. They believe that they can teleport and, you know, whatever.
Can they?
No. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. It's actually pretty sad. If you're under so much pressure to hear from God, and then you start, you know, listening to some voice in your head and it carries some of your own, you know, whatever disturbing thought or whatever, then yeah, you can give yourself permission. So it's dangerous. And that's why if it doesn't speak with love, it's not God. If it's a voice that says, oh, you're crap, you're stupid, it's not God.
If there's a voice that says, go rape and murder this entire village,
not God.
Yeah, right. You should tell Moses that sometime then, or Joshua.
Yeah, not around anymore.
There's a voice. Yeah, God got to him in the end.
Yeah, and so for me, that's not God.
So this is the reason why I think Christianity has to get rid of this idea of relationship with God. I just don't think it's helpful. I think firstly, like we talked about at the start, it makes people feel bad about themselves when God doesn't talk to them.
Mm.
And then secondly, it can lead people to do awful things, feeling like, you know, God speaks to me and this is what he told me.
Mm. I'm finding it hard to disagree with you.
So we've got to come up with a new phrase, a new set of words that can describe the thing that Christians feel. Like, I've got nothing against that feeling that people have, that feeling of connection.
Yes.
Like, that, I believe in that.
So why not call it a connection?
Yeah. We've got to get rid of this idea of a relationship with God. It doesn't happen.
Unless, listener, you want to argue with us that it does.
Yeah, and we want to hear that.
I have experiences where I would say, yeah, it can happen, but they are, when I count the minutes in a day, the hours in a day, the days in a week, the weeks in a month, the month in a year, you know, two experiences in 40 plus years is, you know, not much to build a relationship on.
What's 40 years when you've got all of eternity, Chris?
Well, that's why, you know, in a sense, I'm not too concerned about it, because I will go through living my life attempting to feel connected, attempting to try and live in harmony with what I think that idea and that person is. And then that's fine. That's all right for me. If I do get to have a relationship with God and know God and meet God afterwards, that's okay. Well, I don't have to wait that long. I'm more than halfway through now. So I don't need to be in a rush. I don't know. I was just thinking, if God and I spoke, I was just thinking, oh, man, I wouldn't want him to ask me questions about that. You know, oh, man. Well, oh,
why not?
I'd be like, oh, I'd be ashamed of that, you know, and like.
But he knows it all anyway.
I know. If he exists, he knows it all anyway. But I'm just going, oh, is that, in a sense, a form of communication that I'm just sort of going, yeah, I need to sort that part of my life out. I need to sort this part. But yeah.
That was one of my freaky things in my teenage years when I was still a Christian and like my grandparents had died. And I was like, oh, they're up in heaven. They can see everything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
This is gross.
We've all been there.
Yeah, no more needs to be said.
Anyway, we need to wrap it up, and we hope you found this helpful. I have, in that I'm now thinking that if we can't talk to God, then we're left talking to each other. And maybe that's the purpose. Maybe we're sort of having a relationship with that something out there. Every time we connect with creation, nature, people, and every time you wrestle with me and I wrestle with you, Nick. So let's do some more of these, I guess, woven into eternity nightly devotions and return next week, and we'll see you then. What say you?
Hey, Chris, I just realised we've been sitting in this waiting room for ages.
Yeah, we have.
Nothing's happening. I mean, maybe God's not going to see us.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm off to make a complaint. Miss, excuse me, miss.
Here again, contributing again, and they say I never do. And there are ways that you can contribute too, dear listener. Leave reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen to it, share it on social media or discuss it in your blog, podcast or fellowship group. Subscribe, like, nod your head, raise your fist, send a hallelujah, but don't send a prayer because I'm rather busy right now. Join the discussion in the comment section, ask questions, and do come back and join us again here on the Eternity Ward.